So I want to read the chorus for all of you this morning of our next song. So Holy Spirit, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on the word. May we take time this week to hear God's voice in the midst of all of our busy lives. Please stand as you are able and sing Holy Spirit, rain down.
Our sermon scripture is taken from John chapter 2, verses 12 through 25. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show to us to prove your authority to do all of this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. This is God's holy word.
One of my weekly hesitations is trying to solve how many verses are you allowed to put in for the readings of Scripture in the service. So both of them were fairly long, but I had great confidence in Joshua and Avery of reading through, and you did very well. Let's pray. God, we do come before you asking for your Spirit to rain down upon us, to open our hearts and open our minds to your word this day, that we would be strengthened in faith and be able to be a blessing in your kingdom. In Christ we pray, amen. The morning reading from John chapter 2 follows a time when Jesus had first done a miracle for the people. It was that time when he changed the water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. John chapter 2, verse 11 testifies that through his first miracle, Jesus revealed his glory, which resulted in his disciples putting their faith into him. In revealing his glory, Jesus was putting his power and his authority into action, ministering to the people as only the Son of God could minister. Through the miracle of changing water to wine, the disciples began to further see and truly understand that Jesus is the Son of God. From the wedding party at Cana, Jesus and his disciples, along with Jesus' mother and brothers, traveled on to Capernaum for a few days. How many brothers did Jesus have? Four, correct. What are their names? Judas, James. I am impressed. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. How many sisters did Jesus have? We do not know. It's kind of like the three kings at Christmas. It just says he had sisters and never really gives us a number. Well, as the time of the Jewish Passover was approaching, that annual observance of the Israelites ordained by God to remember that long ago time when they took the blood of the sacrificed lamb and washed it on the side and the top of their door frames so that the angel of death would pass over the homes of the Israelites. They have this Passover, the passing over of the angel of death, to remember that time when they had spent over four centuries of their time of slavery in Egypt. So as the time of the annual observance of the Jewish festival approaches, Jesus and his disciples, they make their way to the city of Jerusalem. And upon arriving in that large city, Jesus does what he's customarily doing. He goes to the temple. And in the temple courts, he sees all that was going on in the area of the temple. Jesus sees all that was wrong that was going on in the area of the temple courts. And before we look at what Jesus does in the temple that day, I think we need to first look at the timing of John's account of Jesus clearing the temple compared to the other three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In those other three Gospels, the clearing of the temple takes place in the final week that Jesus lived here on earth. Here in John chapter 2, the clearing of the temple happens at the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. If you look at those four accounts, you can see that the language and the setting is a little bit different. In John's gospel, he talks about the sheep and the cattle. He talks about the officials challenging Jesus' authority to clear the temple. That's not mentioned in the Synoptic Gospels. But in Matthew and Mark, they allude to that challenge of the officials of Jesus. They allude to that at the trial of Jesus before the Sanhedrin in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. In general, scholars believe that there were two different times Jesus cleared the temple. One at the beginning of his ministry and one at the end. 2 years apart, two Passovers apart. And I would think that if he's done that the second time in those three Gospels, those religious leaders would be pretty upset and incensed that here he comes again. Two different times when he cleared the temple. Now, I also want to share that the sale of cattle and doves and sheep and the exchange of money, they were permitted in the temple court as a convenience for the pilgrims that traveled a great distance to come to Jerusalem for the Passover so that they could purchase their animals and offer and exchange their coins for the temple shekels that were needed. But over time, the religious leaders of the temple, they began to use that buying and exchanging as a means of making money. And they had then corrupted and desecrated the temple into a commercial venture. Well, with that little bit of history in mind, we return to the scene as Jesus enters the temple courts and sees that cheating and that corruption. And Jesus acts very swiftly. He quickly grabs some cords and winds them into a whip, and he uses that whip to drive the animals and the money changers out. He uses that to wipe the coins off of the table, and then he physically turns the tables over. Chaos and confusion. Doves flying around, sheep and cattle lunging and running. The money changers, they were scrambling on the floors to pick up their coins, and I imagine there were plenty of people that were diving to get some of those coins off of the floor. The sheep are bleeding, the cattle are bawling, people are calling out, and the temple officials, they are surely stunned and angered by the chaotic scene that Jesus has caused. As the bedlam and the commotion continue, Jesus calls out to those selling the doves, "Get these out of here! How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" There is a very key phrase, "my Father's house." Jesus has very strong feelings for his heavenly Father. His passion and his zeal for his Father comes boiling out in this scene as he strives to guard and protect his Father's house, a house of prayer. The disciples of Jesus, they were there. They were observing it all. They were eyewitnesses of what Jesus had just done and just said. And their response was to declare their wonder of Jesus. They remembered what had been written long ago, citing Psalm 69, verse 9, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The reaction of the Jewish leaders and officials, completely different than those 12 disciples. They were not amazed. They were not trying to understand. They couldn't believe what Jesus had just done and said. And they wanted to know why. By what authority had he acted? What miraculous sign can you show us to approve your authority to all of this? That's a common question asked of Jesus in the Gospels. The demand for a sign, the demand for proof. I won't believe unless you give me proof. Matthew 12:38. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." Matthew 16:1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Mark 8:11. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. Luke 11:16. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. In John chapter 2, as the Jews demanded a response, Jesus answered. He answered in a way that was puzzling. He answered in a way that it was difficult for them to understand. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews, they took it that Jesus was talking about Herod's temple. The courts and the temple itself, so large that it had taken 46 years to build, to put all those stones on top of another. And they still weren't finished. And Jesus was going to knock that all down and rebuild it in 3 days. Now that certainly would have been a great sign that Jesus could have performed if that's what he wanted to do. An amazing, miraculous sign to prove Jesus had the authority to clear out the temple. But in the writing of this gospel, John understood otherwise. Verse 21, "But the temple Jesus had spoken of was his own body." That's a very telling comment. I'm grateful that John included it. Jesus was speaking of his own body. "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus had in mind where he was headed in 3 years. He had in reality of his mind all that time. Jesus knew his purpose on the earth, to go to the cross, to have his physical body destroyed on the cross, and then be raised 3 days later. The entire gospel of Jesus Christ points to the light and the promise of his resurrection. And that promise is extended to all who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 22, "After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words Jesus had spoken." Those disciples, they were human like us. They were trying to wrap all their minds around what Jesus had done and what he had said. And it wasn't until after the resurrection, what he did and what he said at the temple that day made sense to them. Then they understand. So if we are young in our faith and we're struggling with understanding, it's natural. And that's why we're patient in our faith and diligent in our growth. those words. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Those words are critically important for us to understand. The power of the resurrection, the dead coming to life, trusting in the Bible, the authoritative word of God. We are called to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ without any proof. To trust that the disciples and the apostles and the writers of Scripture, through the grace of God's Holy Spirit, put down these words as truth, speaking to the power of our Savior, overcoming the bonds of earthly death. It's a hope and it's a promise for all who believe. And then in verses 23 through 25 in this passage, there is a segue into a different situation when Jesus moves on from the temple. It says that Jesus performed miraculous signs as he was in Jerusalem for the week. And many people saw those miracles and they believed in his name. The people thought, if he had the power to perform all these miracles, he must have favor with God. Those officials had wondered for a while and wondered at other times. In John chapter 9, verse 30, in the healing of the blind man, where they were questioning Jesus' authority, the healed man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes." We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly one who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Jesus is not satisfied with a superficial faith. We don't live by fact. We don't live by proof. We live by trust, and we live by faith. Jesus did not put his trust in those that believed just because of the miracles. Jesus could read people. He knows how we're going to think, and he knows how we're going to act. And he identifies each and every person of the earth that has ever lived. And he calls us to put his trust in him, for he is the Son of God. During this Lenten season, I encourage you to ask the question, why, of yourself. Why have you put your faith in Jesus? How do you understand the resurrection? How do you understand Jesus as the Son of God? These are questions to ponder. The answers, they come through the study of God's holy word. So look at John chapter 2 this week. Spend some time with it. And let the Holy Spirit of God rain down on you in blessing of faith and love. Amen. I hope that as the offertory is played, you take some further time to reflect and to offer your own prayers to the Lord of thanksgiving and in need, as we invite you to share your offerings and tithes to further the ministry of God's kingdom and the ministry of this church. I invite our ushers forward. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your provision in our lives. And we share these offerings and these tithes with you out of our love for you and out of our hope to share your light with others. In Christ we pray. Amen.
As we get ready to leave this place today, may it be our prayer to freely give God control of our heart, speaking truth to us and being willing to hear and receive what he is calling us to do. Our closing song is, "Here's My Heart." And following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of "Here's My Heart."
Here's my heart, O Lord.
Through times of temptation, keep communion with God. Through deeds of love, keep communion with one another. At all times, in all ways, keep the faith. Amen.